Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Tala Taekwondo hero Jack Woolley came home just a couple of weeks ago from the Paris Olympics and didn't go as far as he wanted in the Games, but more importantly, he came home a happy man for a variety of reasons. He's won a series of European and Grand Prix medals over the years anyway, and he's very proud of those. He's with us in studio. Good morning, Jack Woolley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Are you in good form?
I am, yeah. The come down has kind of stopped now. I'm starting to enjoy things again.
Brilliant. And you're in your full Team Ireland getup.
Yeah, I just wasn't too sure if it was going to be recorded. So I
thought
we will
be doing photographs for sure. We'll know. Thanks a million for doing it. It's good to get your whole story here because take us back to Tokyo, I suppose. 2021 might be a good place to start because we were watching you there, the first ever representative from the country, sole representative of that sport. What was that experience like going into it? Because it was a mad Olympics with the pandemic and everything.
Yeah, it was very strange. I actually qualified in December 2019.
Wow.
So then the pandemic didn't happen until the following year. So it was kind of, it was difficult to wait around and hear whether the Games was going to go ahead or not. And then when we did have it, it was a COVID game. So there was no audience. And we were told you're not allowed mixed countries and you're not allowed mixed sports, which for me was very difficult because obviously I'm the only one there for my sport. So
it
was in Japan as well. So we had to go over weeks in advance. So I think I was there for 3-4 weeks, basically on my own, having to wear a mask everywhere. You were doing COVID tests every day. And when you did compete, there was no audience. So it was very nerve wracking. I like to compare it to now after being at this Olympics, like the difference was crazy. But I compared the Tokyo Olympics as like something out of the Hunger Games, like where you go in and you have to like perform in front of all these people just staring at you. Like there was only a couple of people in the stadium and then the cameras and stuff. So it was very daunting, like all these men in suits just judging you. That's what it felt like. But this Games was much better with the audience.
And there couldn't be worse preparation for that.
Yeah, it was difficult because I actually had to move my best friend, my training partner, into my house during the pandemic. So as soon as we heard that we were going into lockdown, he went, packed the bag in his house and moved straight into mine. We got equipment from Sport Ireland, all the gym equipment, and we were just able to train just in case the Games did go ahead that summer. But after a couple of months, we realised we had to wait a whole year. So it was pretty tough.
And you were gutted at how that Olympics went for you.
Yeah, it was not what I expected. I went in kind of with a medal hope, and I just didn't perform on the day, and it was pretty tough, and especially to be so far away from home. And you know, as soon as it was finished, I had an interview with RTE straight after, and I just bawled my eyes out the whole time. And I think a lot of people for a while remembered me as the young fella that cried on the telly.
We remembered you as the guy who brought Irish taekwondo to the Olympics. Maybe you didn't see that from your vantage point because this is your whole universe. And you did bounce back from it. But you were attacked on the street not long after that. You seem to have a series of woes.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks after.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. Wow. So I got home and it was actually my first night out. My friend moved away from Dublin and it was the first time she came back up. We went out for a meal and a couple of drinks and we were walking back to get a taxi because if you know town, it's easier to get a taxi on one side of the river than it is the other one. So
sure.
We walked across and there was just a little bit of an incident happened and I ended up getting attacked in town. And to be fair, I look back on it and it just seems like a blur at this stage, but I'm so grateful for it. Like I feel like it was the best thing that kind of happened for me because now I just live my life in a way that I don't really have any regrets. I just go about each day as it comes and I'm very grateful for that. So
the attack kind of reset your head, didn't it? Really?
I feel like it was a complete just reset. Like you said, I didn't take things too seriously and I just wanted to enjoy life. And it made me realise that that's the purpose while we're here. Mm. So may as well enjoy myself while I'm alive. Yeah.
Was it a young lad that attacked you?
To be fair, he was a little bit older than me, but if you put me in front of me now, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
There was no one arrested or charged anyway.
No. There was actually seven of us attacked at that.
Seven people?
But none of us knew each other. It was just a group of people assaulting people through through the streets.
For no reason.
Yeah, seven of us were in two ambulances to go to James's, yeah.
Because we've heard about these random attacks, and that's 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. You're one of, we rarely hear from the people who are actually attacked, and there's almost no arrests or anybody charged with them. It's interesting that you had that kind of reset. And I gather you had sort of said that you'd nearly forgotten about the attack until our team mentioned it to you yesterday.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
It's just because I never really talk about it anymore. I just feel like I'm a better person now, and I don't feel like the need I have to bring it up. I only bring it up when I'm either asked about it or... it's relevant to a story. Like today I posted a video about how me and my partner met each other, and it was actually just as I got back from Tokyo. So we'd gone on a couple of dates and then this happened. So this was like the start of our relationship, which was a bit mental, but it's a good story to tell.
It is. And you have an amazing story. And I only bring it up because of the amount of comebacks that you've had from bad periods. So you picked yourself up after that. Who was it you were meeting around that time? It was Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah. So we were together over 3 years now. So
congratulations. It's a lifetime in the LGBT world. 100%.
People are still mesmerised by the fact that we're still going stronger. People say, how come you're still in the honeymoon period? But we just click so well that I don't think that's ever going to go away. We don't argue or anything. It's like two best friends and just we get along so well.
I'm going to come back to that, but I want to keep on the sport trajectory for the moment, because you come back from the Olympics, you're attacked, you pick yourself up sports-wise, and how are you performing then in taekwondo after that?
So I obviously took a little break because I couldn't train after getting the plastic surgery. So I had 27 stitches in my top lip. And
to your face.
Yeah. So I kind of had to take a little bit of a break, but in our sport, we have a 4-year ranking system. Luckily, it's changed now. It's 2 years, so we have a little bit of a break after Paris. But the 4 years started actually in January 2020 to qualify for Paris. Mm. So we didn't really have time to rest. We had to get back into competitions and get the ranking points to try and qualify.
Wow.
Six to 8 weeks later, I was back in the ring. My first competition back, I won gold. And I had 4 competitions then at the end of 2021. And I got to the final in all of them. So
your confidence
exactly, and I think I needed that to try and chase the ranking, because obviously your head is a little bit all over the place after not getting a medal at the Olympics, and then to be assaulted and not being able to train and stuff. It was just a nice confidence boost.
It was, and obviously you would have been visibly injured during these competitions.
Yeah, so people were aiming for it.
Were they?
Yeah, like if you're ahead in taekwondo, it's a full contact sport, so you can knock each other out. But I'm the type of player that likes to score points, and that frustrates people. When I start getting a few points ahead, then you start to see like some nasty players whipping out a few moves that they kind of shouldn't be.
Go ahead.
It was just I actually got punched in the face in a competition. You're not allowed punch in the face in taekwondo.
Yeah.
And a hand accidentally slipped up my face. I don't believe that.
Accidentally.
One bit. But it just so happened to hit me in the exact same spot and reopen it.
Go away.
In this, I think it was in a quarter final, and I had to go back like an hour later and fight the semis, because we fight all of her on the same day. Like we could have 4 or 5 fights all in the one day. So it was just, that was the first time I'd experienced like a bit of panic since the assault. So it took a while to kind of get back to things. But now I was back on the top of podiums in no time.
Your plastic surgeon was very good, by the way.
Oh, no.
I get
very frustrated with it. Like when I smile, only half of the lip lifts, and you can only see like one front tooth. Well, I notice it. Some people say that they don't even recognise it. But I looking in the mirror, it does frustrate me.
You know yourself. You see better than the rest of us. Are you okay with it now?
Yeah, like I'm kind of used to it. For a while, I was always like, I want to get it like sorted when I finish taekwondo, like because if I do get kicked again, something will happen to it. So I was like, when I'm finished and retired, I'll get it fixed and get it tucked up or add filler or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's a part of me now. I'm kind of getting used to it now.
Yeah.
It is me, so
it is very much you. Was it difficult qualifying for Paris?
Yeah, very difficult. So we were told it was a top 6 athletes in the Olympic ranking around the world qualify for Paris. I qualified for Tokyo through ranking as number 6. I was sat through 6 for the whole cycle, And then we realized it was actually top five. And I had to chase top five last year. I did 22 international competitions at 58 kilos. It was constantly cutting weight, constantly traveling, competing. It was very difficult. And we got to December and I ended up in staying in six. So I didn't qualify automatically. I just...
One position away.
Yeah. And I had to go to the European qualification, which was in March this year. We weren't too sure whether they were going to let Russian athletes back in, whether the ranking was going to be a certain way. So it just got very messy. And during the period of time off I had around Christmas and in the January, I started struggling really bad with like just motivating myself to do the sport. I was waking up and I just didn't want to do it anymore. And it got really, really tough. Started having bad panic attacks every morning. I'd wake up and I just didn't know what to do. But I had an amazing team of psychologists in Sport Ireland and managed to get through that. I actually travelled away a lot to go to training camps over in Spain just to get a different type of environment so that I was a bit more comfortable. I was able to bring my partner with me. They're very accommodating that way so that I wasn't missing home.
Yeah.
And bounced back. In March, I went on to get to the final of the European qualifiers, actually myself and the athlete independent nation, which is athletes from Russia or Belarus. So we're on opposite sides, thank God. And we both qualified. And then that was just the
what
period.
A moment that was.
It was insane because obviously I qualified through ranking before. Rio, I tried to go through the qualifications and you need to get gold or silver and I got bronze.
Oh, right.
But I was only 17 and I was still in fifth year. So to me, that was the end of the world. But looking back on it, it kind of motivated me to go like, really into it and get it through.
That's now three comebacks. That's the first one.
I'm the comeback king at this stage.
You must remember that day when you qualified for Paris.
Yeah. The referee gave the match to me. Well, we know, because we can see the score, but when the match was finished and I'd won, I just dropped to the floor. I couldn't believe it. It was very intense. I actually wore a gold chain since Tokyo that my granddad got me from the same shop that he got my nana's wedding ring. She passed away sadly in 2018 and we were like best friends. And he got me this gold chain. I wore it every time I was at competitions. I'd just take it off and put it in my gum shield box because we have to wear a gum shield when we're fighting. So it was just a quick swap because we weren't allowed to fight with jewellery. And actually at the qualification, during all the celebrations, I lost my backpack with the chain in it.
Oh no.
And I never got back.
It's gone.
Yeah. And that chain meant like the absolute world to me. I was on such a high, but then when I realised it was gone, it was like, that was more heartbreaking than anything else.
Yeah.
Because the first time I actually wore the chain to a competition was Tokyo. And the last time I wore it was to qualify for Paris. So I'm not very superstitious or anything, but I did think it was kind of like a sign or something.
It did its job.
And it did its job and it got me to where I needed to go. So
good attitude. You're close with your granddad.
Yeah. Our relationship has gotten a lot better in recent years. Since my nana passed away, he's kind of softened up a little bit and he's a bit more of a laugh now. I don't know. He's just not as...
he was a stickler, was he?
Yeah, a little bit. But now he... We've gotten along really well. He came over to see me fight for the first time ever in Paris. Like, he's not seen me compete before.
And that's because you fight mostly abroad, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't fought in Ireland in many years. So my parents...
That's to do with your weight class, I think, is it?
That and there's not many competitions here. And the competitions I would need to fight in have ranking points. I fought at Nationals maybe like 6 years ago, I think. But that was only because somebody contested in my weight and I technically then had to go for Nationals. But I don't think...
What's your granddad's name?
Joe.
So Joe travelled to Paris.
Joe travelled to Paris to see me. And there was a good group of people supporting me. But it was just extra nice to have him there because he never seen me before. And it was just for him to tell me how proud he was. And like for the words... that he loved me to come out of his mouth afterwards. It was just like, even though I didn't get a medal, it was just such a special moment, you know.
Grandad Joe has really softened up.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Is he the Talad Grandad as well? Is he?
Yeah, yeah. Just down the road.
There's like something in the air in Talla, isn't there?
It's the mountain air. My partner thinks we live in the countryside because he's from Finglas. So, and he thinks that we're country people out in Talla because we have mountains.
I think he's right. I think there's a country sensibility in Talla.
I was going to say no, but to be fair, we had chickens out our back garden. So I can't say anything.
That was incredibly special then in Paris. It didn't go exactly as you wanted. No. But you seemed like the happiest person coming away from it.
Yeah, because I went into Tokyo and I didn't enjoy it. And that was my biggest regret, like coming out of it and just saying, I went to an Olympics, and that was my dream as a kid. And it's all I wanted to do. And to be fair, it's mostly a blur, Tokyo. And I can't remember it. And I was just so down about how I didn't enjoy the whole experience. And that was my main goal for this one. No matter the result, go out. The result will be better because if I'm enjoying it, you know, I'll fight better. Yeah. So this time that was my goal, was just to go out and soak in the experience and just have fun. And I feel like I did that, although it wasn't the result I wanted. But the lads I'm fighting, the Spanish boy actually beat me in the final of European Games last year.
Is that right? Okay.
And like we're back and forth. I fought the two boys before. And to be fair, with the way my matches went, I actually finished in seventh place. So 7 out of 18 people that went to the Olympics, never mind for the amount of people. Taekwondo was actually the second most populated sport in the whole world. It's just not that big in Ireland, but around the globe, it's got 200 million practitioners.
Wow.
So for me to just be one of 18 people and then to come seventh, like, I know it wasn't a medal, but like, it's still some achievement.
It was a good fight as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. To be fair, that's one thing about me is the fight will always be entertaining. You know, it's lots of points, lots of score, and I'll throw my legs. If I'm losing, I'll still go for it. So,
because I was watching the first match, not knowing a whole lot about it, and I thought, well, they're level now in the second round, but of course,
yeah,
there was the
superiority because he scored the point and I won.
Point was a penalty, that was his penalties, error, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why he was superior.
It's tough.
But I do remember you taking off your helmet and being very happy. And also, it was in a gorgeous arena. It was the best one in Paris.
It's the best arena I've ever fought in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, I wanted to soak in that atmosphere. You know, there was no point in me being upset because, to be fair, I've always looked back at pictures of Tokyo and then you see me crying and I'm on the floor and I'm a bit like all over the place because I'd set myself up so high. But this time I just said, okay, it didn't happen, you know, just embrace it.
But you were happy, very proud of yourself, a young lad from Talla, I think, as you said in your interviews. I don't know if you've ever seen them back.
I don't like watching them back.
You should watch them
back. I won't listen to this back either.
They're really good. You should watch them back.
Thanks.
Because you talk about, like, it's a young lad, Talla, who's made the Olympics twice and just, like, anybody can do it. You hand it over to everybody else because... and we hope to see you in a third Olympics. That's possible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the plan.
In Taekwondo, you can go to 30.
You can, like I was actually the second oldest person in the division at this last Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I don't see myself declining. I actually feel myself improving. I'm getting stronger. I'm fitter than ever. So I don't see a reason why I have to take a step back now. I'm going to keep pushing and go for another Games.
Even you saying that reminds us of why we enjoy this summer so much, because it was like confident Irish people who were allowed to be confident to say good things about themselves.
Yeah, that's one thing about me, as I'm confident, but I don't want to border on the cocky.
Very good. No, that's not going to happen. They won't let you tell it.
No.
I want to ask you about coming out as well, because it was a big moment also post Tokyo Olympics. A lot has happened in 3 years. I read somewhere that you regretted doing it so publicly.
I have two thoughts on this. So I came out when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And that was just really easy for me. And I kind of did it before I was like in the sport. Like, I'd made a name for myself, which is something that I'm pretty happy about. But there's that always that part of, why do we need to come out? I don't understand that. That's what I mean by I shouldn't have done it so publicly. I felt like if I'd have just gone about my life and not made a big deal about it, then that's what I thought was ideal. But to be fair, in recent times, I've been out since I'm 15, like I said, and I've never had any issues with it and I've never seen any issues. And when people ask me to come and speak about it, I'm like, oh, but I had such a positive experience. I've never had any hate. I don't see the point I don't know why you want me to talk about it. But speaking about the positives, like, why does everything have to be so negative? Oh, this person was disowned by their parents and stuff like that. It's like, but it's not all like that. So you need to show some hope. And my story could hopefully inspire young people, whether they're in sport or not in sport, that I did have a good experience. And then being with my partner, I seen the tough side of it, because he actually wasn't out when we were together. Right. At the start, it took him 11 months until we came out as a couple. I was his first, like, proper same-sex relationship. So I kind of went through that struggle with him. And for me, that was like a second coming out. It was very odd. But yeah. It was nice to just be
then
by
you
his side.
Publicly coming out is not for you, it's for other people.
Yeah.
So he Dave got through that.
Yeah, he did. Just to tell his family, he wanted to bring me to his sister's wedding. And I was like, okay, well, you can't just rock up to your sister's wedding and be like, surprise. Like, you need to do it in advance. So I gave him until like the month before. That was the rule, unless I'm not going to that wedding. So
you're ruling the roost there.
But exactly.
Very sensible advice.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a coming out before the sister's wedding.
Yeah, there was no issues with that. He just... I wasn't really involved. I kind of left him to his own devices there. I just kind of was there to support him and if he was getting upset or anything. But to be fair, he handled it very well. He's after meeting everybody on his side, I was always very confused at why he had such a hard time with it, because everyone's so warm and welcoming and we get on so well. Like, I have a very small family and his family is just so large, and I love that side of things. Like, it's just such a buzz being over there.
Finglas.
That's it. My granddad's from Finglas, actually. He just lives in Talla, so I think that's it. There's just something there.
Finglas, just as nice as Talla.
Exactly.
That's lovely. That's all worked out and it's going well. We wish you well. Thank you so much, Jack Woolley, for coming in to us.
Thanks very much.
This morning. What are you doing in the immediate future, by the way?
Oh, I'm just kind of getting back into training myself, hopefully get a few competitions. We have a Grand Prix final at the end of the year in December. And then...
if you go abroad again, over and over.
Yeah. So just flat out until the end of the year. And
in the meantime,
having
fun, as we can see from your Instagram account, which is your life away from sport.
Yeah, my life away from sport. I have two accounts on Instagram. I have one where I share like my taekwondo and like my sport side of things. And then I have my other one just because I want to show my authenticity. Is the word, yeah? I just want to be real and just show that I am a human at the end of the day, that we're not just sport, and just have a bit of a laugh online.
You do a great job on that. You can plot any course as well, as we discovered. There's lovely messages coming in for you just before I let you go. Walking with my dog in, all of all places, Puerto Banús, listening to Jack in tears. What a lovely chap. Would love to replace the chain for him. Best bless him and wish him and his partner every happiness. That's from Brian.
Thanks very much.
Puerto Banús, I should say. What a lovely, honest, open person Jack is. Great interview.
Thanks.
So the compliments are coming, and you can accept compliments as well.
Yeah,
this is the new confident youth we have. Jack Woolley, Irish Taekwondo Olympian. We hope to see you again under the five rings another time. But in the meantime, enjoy everything you do. And thanks so much. We're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
Email oliver@rte.ie.